to another episode of the CJ McCollum Show. We are finally back home after a long, long, long road trip in which you could say we took care of business. And now we have a tough task ahead that I think we'll get into in a little bit. But right now it's about the Pelicans. It's about the pulse of the NBA. It's about 12 games remaining on our schedule until it gets really real for a lot of teams.
Let people know. It's about the Pelicans right now. Is that what you're saying? Say it with
That's
your
what
chest.
I'm saying. It's about the Pelicans right now. No other team really matters in the league right now, for being honest. We're 8-10 in our last 10 games.
I mean, it's all about you guys to the Clippers right now. That's for sure.
I mean, I'm just reading this because this is a statistic that's very public. The Clippers are 5-5, and we're now a half game back of the Clippers for the fourth seed at home court advantage. But I think the moral of the story is this. It's a really close race in the Western Conference. There's a lot of really good teams, and injuries matter, health matters, timing matters, schedule matters, and all these things are going to play a factor in where teams finish down the stretch with 12 games left. And I talked about how injuries matter, and obviously it's public knowledge that Brandon Ingram got hurt against the Orlando Magic, and he's a huge, huge piece of our team and a pillar of our organization and a guy who's been here for a long time, does things the right way, works hard, and has showed an ability to continue to evolve offensively, defensively, huge piece of our team, and he's going to be out for at least 2 weeks, and it's tough. You know, it's the timing of it is not ideal, but we're just thankful, honestly, that it wasn't worse when in real time it looked like it could have been so much more than what we're dealing with currently. But in terms of how we get over this, I think it's just important that we stick together as a team. There's a lot of guys on our team that are capable of stepping up and helping alleviate some of the pain of us not having him. Obviously, Trey Murphy has been starting. Najee's playing more minutes. Hawk will get some more minutes at some point. More minutes from Jose. More minutes from Herb. More on-ball duty for a lot of different guys, from Herb to myself to Z.
More scoring from CJ, you know, because you guys are, according to this, I don't, do we call it tweets anymore? Like, what X? What do you call the actual post if it's not a tweet because it's no longer Twitter?
It's an X message.
I digress. I don't think anyone's addressed that yet, but this X message, put out the stat that you guys are 22-2 when you score 20 or more points, and 21-4 when you dish out 5 or more assists, and an unbeatable 14-0 when you hit both 20 points and 5 assists in a game. So, you know, if you want to raise that trophy, it's 20 points, 5 assists all day.
Yeah, I think it's a semi-small sample size on the 14-0, but I think it also, it just shows you that we're a really good team. And when your best players play well and also, you know, make the players around them better, you win games, which makes sense. And I think a part of it is we are a good team. We blow teams out. I think we have the most double-digit wins in the NBA this season. Like, we blow a lot of teams out. So sometimes we're not playing in the fourth quarter. We have a guy that can go 13 of 14 from the field and score 36 points and get 7 rebounds and 8 assists. We got another guy that can score 40 and hit 6 threes in a row in a game and averages, you know, 20, call it 21, 5 and 5. Like, we have a lot of guys. We got a center that averages 20 minutes a game and averages a double-double.
And Zion's now skinny and he's playing in games.
Like, how about that, haters? Shout out to the haters. Z's played in. Let's talk about this for a second. Z has played in 15 consecutive games, 57 of 68 possible games in a 23-24 season, with 12 games remaining. Assuming he plays in all 12, we're looking at Zion playing in, if the math is right, 69 games. Great number.
I can't.
Great number.
And he only played in 114 games since 2019. Anyways, don't need to, hang on the past. The present is you guys are rolling. But I do, before we get more into what's working so well for you guys, you mentioned Brandon Ingram. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. It is less serious than originally thought. But, like, what? I know how we get updated. We ask, you know, Willie Green, what's the latest on Brandon Ingram? Like, what's he doing now? Is he out on the court? How are you guys updated on, you know, the status of injured players, and like, is it a day-to-day thing? Is Brandon around the practice facility? Obviously it's better now that you guys are home, so you may see mm-hmm. him more, but like when you're out on the road, do you get updated? Like how, like when it's such a significant player like Brandon Ingram, how does that impact just like your preparation and in general?
Yeah, I think it impacts everything. The way we think about the games, the way the coaches have to adjust the rotations, figuring out who's going to play, how long guys are going to play, how much we practice now that we basically play every other day for the next 13 days with six games against really good teams during our homestand. B.I. sits by me on a plane. He sits right next to Z right now because of, you know, his leg and him needing treatment. And I get treatment.
What does that have to do with sitting next to Zion?
So me and Z sit. So I sit, me and Dyson. And then the row across from me is Z. Z normally sits by himself. B.I. normally sits in the front of the plane with the wall, but he can't sit in front of the wall because of his leg. So he's now sitting by Z. So I'm right beside both of them. And you ask me how we get updates. We just ask.
Is that like just a perk Zion gets that he gets to sit by himself?
Well, no, he used to sit by somebody, and I think they are no longer on our team. And then whoever replaced them,
all right,
plays
look at
cards.
Me being petty. I'm just trying to know.
whoever replaced them plays cards. So there's a table where guys play cards. So then, like, okay, a couple people get rows by themselves, so everybody that plays cards can play together and be at the same table. That's like another story for another day, but. In terms of how we get updates, we just ask. And a lot of us have been injured before, so we know what it's like to be asked when you're coming back and all that stuff. But it's more about, how do you feel? Do you feel better today? Are you improving? What types of things are you doing in your rehab now? Like, how's the swelling? Like, I like to ask specific questions because I've been hurt. So I know, like, the normal general questions that you don't want to hear as a player that's recovering. So I get specific. And that's how I get feedback. He's around. He's flying with us.
That's a very adult way to communicate, by the way.
I like to think that I'm an adult at this stage, as the oldest player on the Pelicans team.
That's what I do with pregnant women too. I ask all the questions. I got annoyed when people asked me when I was pregnant. But I digress. Sorry. Continue.
We'll have to get more involved in that conversation. But yes. He's doing well. He's been around. I get treatment all the time, especially on the road. So when we landed in city, I get treatment. The day of the game, I go in the morning, and then I'm back on the table pregame later in the day. And I see him on the table all the time, getting treatment, doing different stuff, doing his rehab, his mobility stuff, his movement, his strengthening. He's in the weight room lifting before the game. So you're seeing him constantly throughout the day. And we just got back from a road trip, and you get a text with like treatment schedule and times. And he's obviously on the treatment schedule with times. So he's still going in on the off days and doing what he has to do to get back and to make sure that he's his best self when he returns.
And he's very, I mean, not that everybody is this way, but Brandon in particular, he doesn't come back until he's feeling 100% because of past history with injuries and setbacks. And from my understanding from the outside is that, you know, Brandon, like, when it comes to injuries, wants to make sure that he doesn't take a step forward or take five steps back. But this is an interesting time because it is a playoff push and you guys are, you know, like jockeying for positioning and mm-hmm. could possibly get home court advantage. However, is it an advantage for you guys lately? I don't mean, no disrespect, but look, you guys have been crushing it, but really it's been on the road that you've been really good. I mean, you're tied with the Timberwolves for most road wins, 24 among Western Conference teams. But you guys are near the bottom when it comes to wins at home. Is there something to that? Is there a New Orleans flu for you guys?
No, I think it's a combination of we've played a lot of games on the road. We've had a lot of road games, and a part of it is us playing really good teams at home and losing, and then also losing to some teams that aren't really good at home on occasion. But I think there's no excuses. I think we play well in most cases. And now that we have six games at home over the course of 2 weeks, it can either really help our record mm-hmm. or really hurt our record. But I think it'll help.
It's a tough schedule.
Yeah, it's a brutal schedule to have over 13 days where you basically play every other day against all playoff
the Thunder, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Magic, the Suns, and then, you know, Wemby.
Yeah, which is, you know, a problem in itself. But I think all in all, we have a lot of guys who enjoy competition, and there's nothing like going into somebody else's refrigerator and drinking out of their orange juice. without getting
you
the
love
cup.
Silencing the crowd.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it's fun to have the crowd cheer for you at home. And we got to do a better job of taking care of games at home. But to your point, I think home court advantage is nice to have, but it doesn't really matter in the playoffs. It's the best team that night. It's the team that executes the best. And we want to be able to play in front of our home fans. We want the opportunity to do that. But we know we got to take care of business in the regular season. And we have to continue to be comfortable with the fact that in order for you to win series, you got to be able to win games on the road, too. And we've shown that we can do that.
So what's been the biggest difference for you guys lately? Is it, you know, do you feel like in playing with Zion, how many years now have you played with Zion?
Two and a possible.
Okay. So is this the best you've ever seen him look?
That's tough because he had a stretch last season
before
he got hurt where he was incredible.
All-star, all that, yeah.
Starting in the All-Star game, we were first in the West, dominating, and the speed, the burst, the defense, it was all there. I think he's playing similar to that. It's hard to compare them because this is a 59-game sample size where he's kind of shifted his mentality, he shifted his approach, and obviously his body has shifted over the course of a full season where we're getting later in the season and he's dominant, you know, still dominant defensively, dominant on offense, balls in his hands more, making the right decisions. But also a part of this is the fact that B.I. was hurt during some of that run. Mm-hmm. This season, we've been able to play together more games than we have before. They've been able to play together more games than they probably have since early in Zion's career. So I think the roles have shifted, the roles have evolved, and the comfort level has grown over the course of a season where all these games have been able to play. So I think that's probably a part of why we've gotten better. It's the comfort. It's the understanding of positioning, spacing, where everybody's going to be at. Playing more than 10 games in a row with the same unit, like, it helps. Understanding the rotations from the bench, it helps. It gives the coaches familiarity. Then being able to have practices throughout an entire season where you can strategically work on things or just have, like, half-court breakdown where you walk through spacing, plays, how you want to set the screen, where I should go when you catch the ball in the elbow. We're able to have that dialogue because we're all on the floor. When you're not on the floor together consistently, it's hard to have that same dialogue and to mesh as well.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, look, I mean, you guys are peaking at the right time, whereas the team that you're currently trailing is going in the opposite direction in the Clippers. They've been having a rough go since the All-Star break, 5-5 since the All-Star break, whereas you guys are 8-10 in the last 10 games, or 5-5 in the last 10 games for the Clippers. It's coincided a little bit with, you know, Russell Westbrook going down, and he's set to rejoin the lineup this week. You know, there's reports that he can hit the court as early as tonight, as we're recording this on Monday night, against the Pacers, 3 weeks after his surgery for a fractured left hand. So in his absence, they've gone 6-6. They've just, you know, lacking just energy. I mean, from your perspective, I know you're playing in games, so you don't have an opportunity to watch every single Clippers game. But what are your observations for, you know, how things have shifted for the Clippers lately.
I think James talked about it, and he said that he's trying to lighten up the mood for the Clippers.
Did you believe that? No. How they've been in a bit of a funk. That was in response to him
contesting guarding, the shot.
Yes, contesting Kawhi's shot. I'm sorry. I just had to.
No, I think he was just. I think he was just messing around, like in the flow of the game. But I think they have been in a funk, and I think it's comes a point in time throughout a season where you hit a wall mentally, physically, individually, and collectively as a team. And it happens at different points throughout a season, especially when you have a veteran team who's played in the playoffs and they know what it takes to sustain a high level of play. There's lulls throughout a season. I think they're just going through a lull. Obviously, this coincided with Russ, who's the most energetic player on the team, who brings the change of speed to the bench, who brings that approach, who's probably a vocal leader, challenging guys throughout. And when he's not out there, there's definitely a difference in how they perform based on the record alone. I think they're 28-8 when he's in the lineup mm-hmm. before the injury. Like, they're just better when he's out there for a multitude of reasons.
And so even his move to the bench, I think, like, was an act of leadership that I think, mm-hmm. like, made this team kind of come together and rally together. So yeah, I mean, so, sorry, I cut you off again.
No, you're good. You keep cutting me off. I'm just kidding. But I honestly think that it's just a point in the season where they hit a little wall. I don't think it's anything that fans or the league should be worried about. Like, this is still a good team. You put them in a 7-game series. They still got the same players. They got a really good coach. They're going to execute, and they got shot makers, shot takers, and defenders, that can guard a multitude of positions. But I think overall it's 12 games left. And it's that point in the season where the games are starting to matter again, and you're starting to get a more clear picture of as to what your playoff scenario is going to look like.
But did you believe James Harden when he said that he was really trying to lighten? I mean, have you ever seen that before?
I've never seen it in a game. No, I've seen it in practice, but not in a game.
Wait, Kawhi made the shot, right?
No, he missed it.
Okay,
missed
see it. What? See what are we? What are we doing?
And I'm thinking, like, do you think Kawhi was mad about this? Like, why, you know, I was open. Why you could test it?
Exactly. I'm just confused. I'm confused all around. I mean, I the reasoning, I guess, plays for what the, you know, what the Clippers are going through. He's saying, like, we've been in a fog and I'm trying to create energy, but it, I don't know. It just was kind of weird. And maybe
poor
that's
execution.
More, maybe that's just sums them up right now. They're like searching for answers with, you know, like, how, like the magic that they lost, because they were like gunning for the one seed for a while.
Yeah.
And now, you know,
it's
kinda,
out of reach.
It's out of reach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the way the Nuggets are playing, which, by the way, then Michael Malone said, He doesn't think anyone's playing better than Nuggets right now.
He doesn't care if they have the number one seed. Do you believe that?
No, I mean, I was actually around the team during that whole like race for the one seed, and you know, I had 2 games with them, and every single person was like, "Yeah, we want the one seed," but also like, you know, it doesn't matter. But also, we do want the one seed, like, because that's, I mean, I think it could be both things. It could be like, it doesn't really matter. We're very good. We're not going to, like, you know, go out of our way, but we're our foot is on the pedal. Like, we're full steam ahead, and it looks like that way for the Nuggets. Another team that's been like red hot, the Rockets. How about them Rockets? They've won 8 straight. Ime Udoka. That's all I'm going to say with that.
He's getting the best out of them. And this is crazy because this is without Sengun, who's been the best player on their team and was the engine of the offense. He was the joker, if you will, to the Houston Rockets. And they've been great in Papa Green. And I'm not talking about Jeff.
Oh.
I'm talking about Jalen.
Oh.
He's been massive.
He's been. Yep.
Yeah. He's been massive for the Rockets. He's averaging 27.8, 5.7, 3.5 this month, shooting 51 from the field and 41 from three. This
Congratulations.
On the babies or the...
Just all around. Good for you. And he's Filipino. Hey.
Okay, Filipino. And he's shooting threes and turning before the ball goes through the net. consistently. He had a nasty dunk on my guy, Anfernee. Simon, shout out to my guy, Anfernee. He had a nasty dunk on him in Portland. He's catching lobs. He's finishing around the basket. He's playing with a different level of confidence and swagger. And this Rockets team with Fred VanVleet and Ime, who you talked about, they're going to be good for quite some time. They got a nice roster. Dylan Brooks is playing well, shooting the ball well all season. His teammates are talking about the importance of him being on the team and on the floor and not getting thrown out games. But they've been good this season in spurts, and this is a great time in the season for them to put together 8 straight wins and be 10-1 in a month, trailing the Warriors by, what, a half a game for that 10 spot, which is a spot in the playing game that Draymond said he was not worried about at all.
Do you think the Warriors should be worried?
Yeah, but not just because of the Rockets. I think that there's only 12 games left. There's so few games left. It's hard to make up for a lot of what's happened throughout this season. Obviously, the past is the past, but that past affects your present and your future and the need to, like, win games, like the game they had the other night against Minnesota. It's like every game matters that much more when there's only a handful of games left, especially when you have a tough schedule, especially when you have games against teams who are competing for a lot of the same things you're competing for, which is play-in and potentially playoffs. So I think they, not that they are worried, but I think a lot of teams are uncertain of their future, which can bring a little bit of anxiousness to anyone.
I mean, this team has fire, clearly, because, you know, they've gone in a couple scuffles and Dylan Brooks does not back down from anyone, and neither does Ime. I think do you remember when Ime got into LeBron's face? Like,
yeah,
and that's been his kind of reputation, that, like, he doesn't back down to anyone. He talks to everyone, you know, the same, and holds people accountable. You know, you're right. I think this team has talent, and he's getting the best out of them. And you got a nice mix of veterans with, you know, Papa Jeff, the older Papa
the
Jeff
OG
Green.
Papa Green.
Yeah. And then, you know, and Fred, I mean, Fred's a champion. I mean, and you got two champions with Jeff Green as well. So they have a nice squad.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
And, you know, there's reports that it could have been drastically different at this point in the season with that report that there was a potential blockbuster trade with the Brooklyn Nets on the table, where, you know, Houston proposed a deal that aimed to send Jalen Green and several first round picks, which the Nets don't have, in exchange for Mikal Bridges, which obviously did not happen. Which side is more interesting to you? That this deal didn't fall through for the Nets or the Rockets?
I think it's more interesting that it didn't fall through for the Nets, because they've talked about wanting multiple picks and the ability to be able to, you know, be young but flexible. And that would have been a move that allows that. Obviously, Mikal is an established player who's shown the ability to play different types of roles. 3-and-D, can run some pick and rolls, can be that score on the second side of the offense that you need. But I think it's also his veteran presence and understanding of how he would have complimented Fred, how he would have complimented Sengun, the personality and temperament of Ime. I think that they would have, it would have made their team different and, yeah, and dynamic in ways that it's not. I think the upside of Jalen Green, right, the explosiveness and the fact that he's playing the way he's playing now is different than how he was viewed maybe 2 months ago. He wasn't being viewed in the same light. He wasn't having these same types of performances consistently. His percentages were down a little bit. He wasn't finishing games at certain points of the earlier parts of the season. And I think he had hit a little rut. I think he had hit a little rut in terms of how he was being utilized, usage, pick and rolls, efficiency. All those things weren't what they had been for him in the past. And I think now asking about this trade is completely different because of how he's being viewed, how he's played, and the switch that he's kind of turned on since the injury to Alfred Sengun.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting to think about also from the Nets' perspective where they were. You know, Ben Simmons wasn't ruled out for the year. You know, I think when it comes to Mikal, like for the Nets, the initial reaction was, hey, like we, you know, blew up our team and he's the cornerstone of the future for us and what we're building behind. So like, you know, it almost feels from the outside that like maybe it didn't go through because of how much they envision Mikal being the future there. But I mean, the first round picks too, you know, hard.
Several. Is that three or four?
You know, that I think a lot of Nets fans are probably like crying, you know, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, you know, reading that article by Shams. So, I mean, what is the future for Brooklyn? Like, they're, when you see that team and all the money they have tied up to in Ben, and it's just really unfortunate what's going on with him as well. I mean, this back injury definitely seems to be something that is continuing to linger and not get better. So, I mean, the future for Houston seems to be on the rise, but, you know.
Honestly, I don't know what the future holds for Brooklyn right now. I think
exactly. They
have a lot of players that teams covet throughout the league. Not necessarily sure they all fit together. There are a lot of great pieces to a puzzle, but I don't think it's the right puzzle for those pieces. And I think they're just going to have to make some decisions as to who they want to keep. They got a young scoring guard in Cam Thomas. They got young, athletic, mobile, switchable bigs. They obviously have Spencer, they got the twins. They got, was it Thomas? Cam Thomas?
Yep.
And they got a new coach in the middle of a season. So they have some changes that they've made and are going to continue to make. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do, because if they want to press the full rebuild button, they have some options to clear house and get picks.
I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith, a playoff team would love. I mean, Claxton, like they got
wings galore, wings galore, switchable.
Even
guard
Lonnie
gigs.
Walker, you know, has shown a lot of like talent this year.
And they got Dennis Schroeder.
I think that's your point. They have a lot of pieces. They just don't seem to work with each other. We'll see what happens in the summertime. Staying in the East is we kind of wrap things up. There's a lot going on in the middle of the pack. I mean, the Celtics are, I think the magic number may be like two. I'm not either two or one in terms of like
crazy. Clinching
the one seed before any other team clinches a playoff spot. So they're chilling. Even though this Jrue Holiday shoulder thing is like a little concerning, but you know, he's now missed five games with that. But I think it's actually been, you know, covering them a lot this year. A big criticism is their depth, but I think they've been showing, you know, Peyton Pritchard. They have some guys who've been stepping up for them on the bench. That, you know, I think in talking to, you know, my broadcast crew and Doris and Mark Jones, I don't think their depth really is the issue right now. It's just about them kind of rising to the occasion. Yeah, elsewhere in the East, you know, the Bucks, they've been rolling. And Doc Rivers has come in, and he made two changes, two things he wanted to stand on: improving the defense and getting Dame back to playing like the Dame we all know offensively. And I think he's done both of those things so far. How do you feel the Bucks have been playing? Because it does seem like they're rallying behind Doc now.
I think it started right away with their defense. Their defense improved right away. They were still losing games when Doc took over, but their defense was better, I think. More consistent switching, being at the level, kind of mixing up coverages and complementing the strengths of everybody while getting their guards to kind of buy in. Obviously, they made the trade for Patrick Beverley. Obviously, the health of Chris Middleton is also playing a factor. Giannis has missed some games, but is back in the rotation and back to doing what he does, which is like 30 and 13. And Dame is getting more pick and rolls, higher usage, more time on the court with Giannis in actions, but also more time without Giannis, where the ball kind of plays through him and he's initiating the offense and finishing the offense the ways that he has, you know, throughout his career. I think all those things are a factor. I think there's an accountability. Chris Middleton.
I mean, they've now played together for the first time since February 3rd. And Chris, I had his, you know, second game back. I mean, he's, given how much time he was away, 16 games, like he just came back and, you know, was so fluid. And if that two-man game between Giannis and Dame just continues to get stronger and stronger, and then, oh, by the way, there's Chris here as another threat, like that, they could be really scary for you know, the Boston Celtics, if you will, or anyone else in the East.
Do you think they could really be scary? You're just saying that.
No, I do. I do.
In your heart of hearts, you believe they got a shot.
Yes. If they can continue on this like trajectory of playing solid defense, and you know, Giannis and I mean, we've only I forget how many games. Like Giannis, Chris and Dame, like I think they've only I don't know the numbers of how many games they played together under Doc, but like
Not many.
I think you can count it on one hand. So I think that is the, you know, X factor if they can figure this out quickly, but I think that they're trending in the right direction and they have the talent. So yes, I do. I believe in my heart of hearts that they can challenge the Celtics right now, but moving down the conference, Pacers, Heat, Sixers, half game difference for the sixth seed right now. There's reports that, you know, Joel is making his way back. The Sixers, shout out to the Sixers. They've like been holding it down, you know, in Joel's absence, even with like Tyrese missing some games. So if Joel comes back in time for the playoffs, are you giving them any shot?
I think they could be really good. If whole and healthy, it really just depends on which Joel you get coming off an injury, coming off of a knee injury.
Yeah.
How ready is he? How comfortable is he out there? The conditioning, the rhythm, all of those things. He was in an unbelievable rhythm before he was injured, you know, on his way to probably an MVP, MVP type of year for sure with what he was doing. It was it's unlike anything we had ever seen. Even Will Chamberlain wasn't putting up those types of numbers. Averaging more points than minutes, absurd. More rebounds. The efficiency was crazy. He was leading the league in points per game, and he had sat like 13 fourth quarters, which is nuts to think about. But I think they will be good if he comes back. I think the rhythm you talked about that Boston has established, you know, winning 80% of their games, 9 straight games, virtually impossible to beat at home. I think they have 3 losses all season at home. They'll have home court advantage. They'll have clinched the number one seed in two wins from now because they'll have a 13-game lead with 11 games left in the season.
Yeah.
And they could essentially rest guys strategically to get ready for the playoffs. The Bucks are trending up with Middleton being healthy. He just had a triple-double the other night. A great another option for them to have that can score, that can run pick and rolls, that can score in the half court, which is really important in the playoffs alongside Dame and Giannis.
Also, shout out Bobby Portis.
Bobby is really good and funny to watch on TV in terms of his personality.
Yes.
Really, really good personality from afar. That's what it appears to be. But
yes,
I think the Sixers are good, but I think this injury hurts the rhythm of their team. And it gives me the impression and the opinion that the Bucks and Celtics are better suited for the playoffs because of the consistency and them playing together leading up into the playoffs, which matters. That rhythm matters.
Okay. Last question before we wrap it up. Would you be surprised to see the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals again?
In the Eastern Conference Finals again?
Yeah.
I would be surprised because just how they've played all year. Like, I mean, I guess this is what they do every year. Go into the play-in game, eight seed to the finals, like eight seed to the conference finals.
Their offense looks terrible. Terrible some nights. Where
Jimmy turns into Jimmy 2.0 once the playoff starts. Bam is guard 1 through 5.
It really is crazy how he like just
transforms.
And
they're very injured right now,
depending on which side you want to take on that, like you can be infuriated that he doesn't play like that all season, or be like, all right, playoff time. Now, you know, carry us, Jimmy. Like, you know.
I just wonder if they've dug themselves in too deep of a hole to where, I mean, if you run into Boston in that first round, good luck.
Good luck.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, that one seed is Boston. So you got to be 7. Like, if they sneak in and get 8, as good as they are, as good as that Heat culture is, as good as Spo is, and Jimmy and everybody, like, you got to beat Boston in Boston to get out of that series.
Okay, but they have history of that. I mean, they were 39-32 last year at this time. They're 39-32 now, and then at this time last year, they're 38-33.
But who'd they lose? Max. They lost Max. They have Duncan. Hero's still hurt.
Yeah.
They got a lot of injuries right now. With them healthy, I mean, they got a puncher's chance. It's just a matter of, are they going to match up in the first round with Boston or Milwaukee?
I don't know, man.
Injuries
either
matter.
Way, we've seen this before. And so until it doesn't happen, it's like LeBron, you know, until like I see it, I'm not going to. Well, that's a, now everyone's going to come for me
health,
and be like,
think,
are you comparing the Miami Heat to LeBron?
I think health matters. I'll say if all bets are equal and everybody's healthy, I don't think that Miami gets to the conference finals. But that's a big if, because last year Giannis was hurt, right? Giannis ends up getting hurt in the middle of a series. Like, you can't. All of those things play a factor in matchups, plays a factor in how this season finishes, who gets what seed. So I think it's too tough to determine right now because we don't know what the injuries are going to look like and who's going to be healthy. But I don't see it happening this year. I don't see it.
All right. Well, we will see. That's the beauty of the game.
12 games left until it gets really real, really fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's already real for the Pelicans because that's the only team that matters right now, right?
Only team that matters in the NBA, the Pelicans. 6-game homestand against some really good teams. Looking forward to seeing what happens. But more importantly, looking forward to seeing what happens across the rest of the league in terms of matchups and playoffs and April, May, June basketball.
All right, well, happy Easter week or whatever, happy week, depending on what you celebrate. And
I do.
I will see you and talk to you next week.
Sounds good. He is risen. Happy Easter week.